Our reading this morning is Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and were saved. In you they trusted, and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. For he has done it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Thanks be to God.
Jeff, thank you for reading that psalm for us with such feeling. It'll be a great help if we can refer to the psalm together, so please do keep that in front of you on page 554. And we have got these worksheets for Pathfinders, for 11 to 14s. If you would like one and you haven't got one, you can grab one from the back. Adults as well, I suppose, if you'd like to use that. And let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, in which you speak to us today. We pray that you would draw near to each one of us. Lord, please teach us about yourself. Teach us about how we can pray to you in the dark times of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our series of sermons through the summer is entitled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And we're looking at the book of Psalms in the Old Testament and all different kinds of prayers in the Psalms. So far we've seen a prayer under pressure, how to pray when life is pressing in on us. We've also seen a prayer of adoration, a prayer for expressing our love to God. And today in Psalm 22, we look at a prayer or a psalm of lament. Let me ask you as we start, how do you pray when things are going very wrong? How do you pray when you're unwell and it's getting worse? Or when things at school have become very difficult? Or when you're lonely and your marriage is struggling? Or when you see loved ones making harmful choices? How do you pray in those kind of situations? Many of us will be in those situations at the moment. Also, how can we help Christian friends? How can we pray with them in a way that helps when they are in that place? Well, as we suffer, the Psalms of Lament are such a help to us. A prayer of lament has been defined as a prayer which expresses pain and leads to trust. A prayer of lament is, it's a way of clinging on to faith in God when we're suffering and confused and God feels absent. And amazingly, almost one third of the book of Psalms are Psalms of lament. So few of our modern hymns and choruses are like this, expressing pain. It's so rare to hear a Christian today pray in this kind of tone, and yet almost a third of the book of Psalms in the Bible are prayers of lament. See, God has given us prayers of lament as a way of relating to him in the midst of pain and confusion, and a way of praying with those who are walking through sorrow in a way which will help them. And so today we're turning to what must be one of the most famous Psalms of Lament and one of the deepest Psalms of Lament, Psalm 22. It's a Psalm of David. It arises from David's own experience of suffering and confusion. It's a psalm which points us forward, of course, to our Lord Jesus Christ and to his suffering which saved us. And it's a psalm that shows us how we can pray when things are very difficult. The psalm comes in two halves, and we'll look at each of the halves in turn. So first of all, clinging on to faith when God seems far off. So what David does in verses 1 to 21, he's clinging on to God, almost by his fingertips, even though God seems far off. Wonder if you noticed, as we heard the psalm read, what we discover about David's situation as he prays verses 1 to 21. First thing we see is he feels abandoned by God. This is verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? He prays. Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. See, David feels forsaken, feels abandoned by God, feels that God is miles away from helping him or even hearing him, and that he's been praying day and night, and no answer has come. He feels abandoned by God. But also, he is mocked by men. This is verses 6 to 8. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. We look at verse 8, we can see how they insulted him. They were sarcastically mocking the very idea that the Lord would rescue David and that the Lord delighted in him. He felt abandoned by God and he was mocked by men. And also he was facing violent attack. And this is verses 12 to 18. It says in verse 12, many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. David describes his enemies as like violent animals in the way that they surround him. In the following verses, he says his bones are out of joint. His heart, his courage has melted away within him. His strength has dried up. His hands and feet have been pierced, and that people cast lots for his clothing. Yes, David prays verses 1 to 21. He's really at rock bottom. Spiritually, feels abandoned by God. Relationally, he feels mocked by everyone around him. And physically, at rock bottom. One of the great mysteries or questions about this psalm is why David uses these words, these precise words, to describe his situation. You know, we know that David faced a lot of suffering and a lot of opposition in his life, but nothing that David faced is exactly like this. David never had his hands and his feet pierced. What we see in this psalm is that David is writing as a prophet. As he describes how he felt under opposition, perhaps without knowing it, he is describing what his descendant, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, actually experienced. As David describes his feelings, he describes what Christ literally experienced all those years later. So we know in the Gospels that when Jesus was on the cross, he quoted Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? David felt abandoned by God. Our Lord Jesus really was forsaken by the Father as he bore the judgment our sins deserve. As Jesus was on the cross, he was mocked by the chief priests, by the teachers of the law, using the exact sentiments of verse 8 here in Psalm 22. And on the cross, of course, Jesus literally experienced the things which David felt in verses 12 to 18. His bones are out of joint. Verse 15, his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth in thirst. Verse 16, his hands and his feet were really pierced. And verse 18, they cast lots for his clothing. Is it not a remarkable thing that all of these details of the crucifixion of Jesus are written here in black and white around 1,000 years before he was even born? If we're looking into the Christian faith, if we're trying to work out what do we believe about Jesus Christ, passages like this in the Old Testament, and there are many of them, are such a help to us. How can we explain these detailed prophecies given centuries ahead? Well, the only explanation that makes sense is that there is a God and that the Bible is his word. And he sent his son to be our savior and told us beforehand what would happen so that we could trust in him when he comes. David writes about how he felt in his suffering, and he's describing what the Lord Jesus actually experienced. Now, at the start of the 20th century, a film company in Hollywood made a film about the life of Joan of Arc. You know Joan of Arc, the French saint who was burnt at the stake, unfortunately, by the perfidious English. And the first sort of cut of the film was made, and it was shown to the censors. And one of the censors complained that the film contained the line, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the censor explained that this line was blasphemous and quite inappropriate for a film. Well, the director asked the censor if they knew where those words came from, who first said them, and who else had famously said them. And the censor replied that it didn't matter where the words had come from or who said them. This was an utterly disrespectful way to speak to God and must be removed from the film. Well, higher authorities were appealed to, and the words stayed in. And it's good that they stayed in the film. And I'm so thankful that these words and this prayer are included for us in the book of Psalms, because they give us right expectations for the life of faith. They show us that trusting in God does not make life easy, and that God does not always feel close to the believer. Even for David, even for God's chosen king, he had times when he felt abandoned by God and at physical and emotional rock bottom. And it's so helpful for us to see this, because the way that David prays in verses 1 to 21 shows us how to cling on to faith in God when he seems far away. And I want us to notice three things about how David prayed. First of all, he prayed about his feelings and his situation. In other words, he poured out his heart to God. He told God how he felt. He told God honestly, "Lord, I feel abandoned by you." He brought his complaints to God. "Oh Lord, why don't you answer me?" And he described to God what he was going through. He told God all about the insults and all about the physical suffering. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a bottle explode spontaneously in hot weather. Happens sometimes. The sun shines on it, and I suppose the pressure is building up and up in the bottle. You don't realize it's happening. And suddenly, bang, it goes, and it's a great shock. Well, my friends and family will tell you that I'm a terrible one for bottling up feelings of upset and disappointment. And of course, it's not healthy for us. As Christians, we can make this mistake with God, not telling him how we feel. Perhaps there's some area of sadness in our lives, an area where we feel God has let us down, and we don't talk to him about it. Maybe it's too painful to put it into words, or we feel we've prayed about it before and nothing happened. And when we bottle up our feelings from God, not telling him what's on our heart, it leads to frustration and bitterness in our spiritual lives. It's why it's so important that we do what David did in this psalm and pray to God about our feelings and our situations. Now, we do it reverently. We don't curse God or rage against him, but we do it honestly. Say, "Lord, this is what I'm going through. I feel abandoned by you in this area of my life." See, God knows how we feel. He's got broad shoulders. It's a vital part of holding on to faith in him to tell God honestly our feelings and our situation. It's the first thing David does as he clings on to faith when he's at rock bottom. But there's a second thing David does as well in this great prayer. He prays to God about God's faithfulness. He speaks to God about how faithful God is. I wonder if you can notice in verses 1 to 21 that there's a structure to them. David, as he prays, alternates between sections full of "I" and "me," where he talks about his suffering, and then sections full of "you," where he talks to God about God's faithfulness. And the prayer alternates between those two. So in verses 1 and 2, which is full of "I" and "me," David pours out his feelings to God. But then in verses 3 to 5, which is full of "you," David prays to God about God's faithfulness. He says to God, "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel." He remembers that God is enthroned. He's in control, even when David's suffering, and that he's holy. All he does is good and right. It says verse 4, "In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed." David is remembering God's faithfulness down the centuries. How God's people had trusted in him, and again they had not been disappointed. Well, then in verses 6 to 8, David returns to "I" and "me," expressing his situation to God. And then in verses 9 to 11, he springs back to talking to God about God and his faithfulness. So verse 9, "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God." In verses 3 to 5, he prays about God's faithfulness down the centuries. But here in 9 to 11, he prays about God's faithfulness to him personally. How God has looked after him all his life long to this day. And how God has made him to trust him, has given him the gift of faith. And then you'll notice in 12 to 18, he swings back again to expressing to God his situation. David's prayer in these verses is like the pendulum of a clock. If you can imagine a great big old-fashioned grandfather clock. And it keeps time because that heavy pendulum below keeps swinging from side to side. Well, David's prayer is like that. He, on one hand, is pouring out his feelings and his situation to God. Lord, this is how I feel. This is what I'm going through. And then he swings over and he talks to God about God's faithfulness. But God, you've been faithful to your people all through the centuries. And then he's back to his own situation. And then back, oh Lord, you've been faithful to me from the start of my life. Just as the pendulum enables the clock to keep time, praying in this way enabled David to keep faith. Actually, I found this pattern of prayer so helpful in difficult times. We need to do both of these things. We need to pour out our hearts to God, or the prayer isn't real. But we need also to talk to God about his faithfulness to us, remembering that we have a God who is trustworthy. And the third thing we see David doing in this prayer builds on that. He cries to God for help. Verse 19, for example. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouths of the lions. Save me from the horns of wild oxen. He simply cries to God to rescue him and to help. Well, what a helpful model of prayer David gives us in verses 1 to 21. I wonder, is there a situation in your life which you could start praying about using this pattern? Perhaps an area which you have stopped praying about years ago. And start by praying to God about your situation and feelings. Lord, this is what's going on at school. This is what's going on in my life. This is what's going on in my family. Lord, I feel you've let me down in this area. But then pray about God's faithfulness. Yet, Lord, I know you are trustworthy. You have sent your Son to be my Savior. You have given me faith in my life. And then pray to God for help. So, Lord, please act. Please help in this situation. And then keep on moving between those three and praying along those lines. Praying a prayer of laments like this is not a quick fix. In fact, that's part of the beauty of it. God doesn't promise to quickly change the situation or our feelings, but he gives us this way of clinging on to faith in him when he feels far off. And actually, this is also the way that we can pray with others when they're walking in sorrow. This prayer is given to God's people for them to pray together. Maybe times when we can't do it on our own, but praying with each other between us, we can express to God our feelings, we can pray about his faithfulness and cry to him to help. That's the first half of the psalm. David is clinging on to faith when God seems far off. And then in the second half of the psalm, which is verses 22 to 31, David is praising God for his salvation. And we'll look at this more briefly. The great turning point of Psalm 22 comes between verses 21 and 22. Everything before verse 21 is suffering and cries for help. Everything after verse 22 is praise and thanksgiving. It seems that God has heard David's cry and saved him from his enemies. And David responds to God's salvation in the way we should always respond, with praise. I'd like us to notice two things about how David praises God. The first is he praises God with others. Do you see that in verse 22? I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, the gathering, I will praise you. Then he appeals to God's people. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He's not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. See, for David, praise, it's not a private matter. He invites God's people to praise God with him. Not because David is so great, but because God is so great. David emphasizes in verse 24, I was suffering. I was just crying to God for help. And God in his mercy has heard me and helped. So let's praise him together. Just before we went on holiday last week, I had a phone call with a friend in ministry. And it was such an encouraging phone call. Let me tell you why. It was encouraging because he was clear about his weakness and also clear about how God had helped him. So my friend shared many ways in which it had been a hard year for him and the church he leads. Their funding had been cut. They had to reduce the size of their staff team. Some key members of the church had moved house. He was open about his weakness. But then he explained how God had been so faithful, how some people had come to Christ, how lay people had been able to step up and take on what staff members had previously done. And we had time on the phone just praising God together for what God had done. And it was so encouraging. He emphasized his weakness and God's faithfulness, and it led to praising God together. Let's be on the lookout for opportunities where we can share areas in which we're weak and where God has been faithful. Maybe a situation we've been struggling with at home or at work and we were at our wits' end and we cried to God and he's brought some help. We should be able to share those situations at church, in our growth groups, in our family, not talking about how great we are. Nothing could be more discouraging than that. But talking about God's faithfulness to us in our weakness, so that we can praise him together. It's a great example from David. He praises God with others. We also see in these verses that David looked forward to worldwide praise. He looked forward to a level of praise far beyond what he would see in his lifetime. So verse 27, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. David looks forward to the time when the whole world is praising the Lord, the God of Israel. In verse 29, he speaks about the rich and the poor praising God. And in verses 30 and 31, to future generations being told about the Lord and praising him for his salvation. Now, this goes far beyond anything David saw in his lifetime. He anticipates a time in the future when people from every nation will praise God for his salvation. Now, it's beyond anything that David saw, but it is, of course, exactly what God has achieved through the Son of David, Jesus Christ. His suffering on the cross, his deliverance in his resurrection, has led to people from every part of the world praising the Lord, the God of Israel. The psalm has come true. The book of Hebrews puts verse 22 on the mouth of the Lord Jesus. The risen Jesus now invites us to trust in him and to join him in praising God, our Savior. So this means if we're Christian believers, we live for now in the overlap between the world of verses 1 to 21, the world of suffering and crying out to God for help, and the world of verses 22 to 31, the world of praising God for his salvation. So this side of glory, yes, like David, we're still in verses 1 to 21. We suffer. We have times when God feels far off. We go on crying to him for help. But if we trust in Jesus Christ, as well as being in that world, we're also in the world of 22 to 31, the world of praising God for his salvation, praising God with people from all over the world. We know that our Lord Jesus was forsaken on the cross so that we can be saved and become God's forgiven children. And we look forward to that day when we're with him in the place where there is no more suffering and pain, and we praise him even as we still live in verses 1 to 21. So the second half of the psalm, it's showing us that praise is so important. David was praising God for the salvation he received. What we do when we come together and we express our praise to God in word and in song is far more important than we often realize. It's the way we honor God for what he's done for us. It's also so important for our own spiritual health. It reminds us of the salvation we've received. And praise is important because, well, it encourages the brothers and sisters. And it's important because it's a witness to the world as Jesus invites them to join his community of praise. Now, it's not always easy for us to praise God when we gather. We may be walking in times of sorrow and grief at the very same time as we're trying to praise God. Maybe that, like me, we can only sing one note and it makes the singing difficult. But let's ask God to help us praise him from our hearts as we come together, because David shows us that's the right response to God's salvation. Well, that question we started with, how can we pray when it seems like everything is going wrong and it seems like God is far away? Psalm 22 is such a help for us. It's a great psalm to pray through in the week ahead and to come back to again and again. David teaches us to pray to God about our feelings and situation. Don't bottle it up. Tell God how we feel and what we're going through. David teaches us also, pray to God about his faithfulness. Speak to God about how faithful he is to his people through history and to us in our lives in giving his son to be our savior. And then David shows us, cry out to God for help and keep on doing those three things. And at the same time, we come together and we praise God for the salvation that we have in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this example of David's prayer of lament. Please teach us to pray like this, ourselves and also together as your people. Teach us, O Lord, to pour out our feelings and our situation to you in a way that is reverent but honest. Teach us to pray to you about your faithfulness to us in Jesus Christ. Teach us to keep on crying out to you for help. And Lord, we thank you that even while we walk in sorrow and suffering and uncertainty, we also have the certainty of salvation in Jesus. So teach us at the same time to come together and to praise you for Christ, who was forsaken, so that we are included forever. Amen.